Today we heard, listened, two stories about widows and their sons. The first one in the First Kings is about 2,850-ish years ago. There was a widow living in this town called Zarephath. And she has a son. She had a son. But if you know anything about these days, if you're a widow, it is very hard to survive. And upon that hardship, there was drought. The famine came upon the people. So this widow has, literally in her house, one portion of meal to prepare. She was going to cook it and eat it with her son and embrace the death that has came upon all the people. So she went out and she was gathering the sticks. And there came this strange man, Elijah. And this strange man not only asked her to bring water, remember this is drought, but also asked her a piece of bread. Well, somehow, with little struggle, she's willing to not only bring the water, but also bring the bread. That was going to be the last meal for her and her son. Now, you've heard the story, what happened afterward. And miracle of God happened, so this small little jar was never emptied. So they could live on in this drought for a long time. So if story ends there, we could say it's a happy ending. The widow believed in God, gave the last portion she had, and she survived the drought. Well, then there comes the other part of the story, that her son suddenly got ill and died. You know probably what it means to have a widow to lose her only son. You know, a long time ago, back in Korea, I was still in Korea, I learned from one teacher who lost his child. And in the context, it was saying that there's one line, he could not read it like for five times. He tried. The line was that, when parent dies, we bury them in the mountains. But when a child dies, parents bury them in their heart. He could not read that line. Then he told a story about losing his own child. Now here is a widow. And her only son. And he died. So in this moment of chaotic confusion and emotional burst, she is kind of blaming the man of God, saying, did you bring this to me? Well, by the way, he actually saved them from the drought and, you know. But at the same time, she also saying, are you bringing to me so that I should remember my sin? So, automatic reaction. Is it my fault? Is it your fault? How come an innocent child should die like this? Our story actually is beautiful because the child did not die at all, actually. Comes back to life. And somehow in the New Testament, not exactly same, but similar story repeat. And in this time, and here, Jesus is just almost, it sounds like almost random. But you all know that among all, God never does anything random. So we know probably for sure that Jesus chose to enter that town. And at this time, widow's son already died. And this time, funeral was in procession. And this time, without any interaction, he just simply stopped the funeral procession and commanded the child to rise. And child came back to life. Pretty amazing, amazing story. We could compare ourselves to this widow, or we could compare ourselves to this child too. Or we could compare ourselves to the people who are watching this miracle happening. But the first point that I would love to make is, have you ever felt such a presence of God coming near you? It might not be like this kind of very, very intense moment. But was there something in your life that you really needed somebody's help? You know that there's no human being can really help you in this kind of occasion. So in a way, you're hopeless. But yet, you're hopeful. Because you believe that in your heart, there is this being called God, loves you, and is willing to help you. And you pray. I really love today's anthem, Charles, actually. That's totally amazingly essence of today's message. Let my prayers be like incense before you. Incense, it burns and goes into the air. And ancient people believed that that's the only and best way to give anything to God. Make it into the air and let it rise to the sky. That has very good meaning. And if we kind of want to understand, I know that if you really read this story, then as I was looking into different angles, you get to have questions like, it's unfair for the child to die because the miracle should happen. That was one of my questions. And then I realized, was it because the miracle should happen the child had to die? Or child was dying and miracle happened? And that becomes the story to us. In correspondences, where Swedenborg loves getting to, these stories get somewhat more connected to us. If you read the whole Bible, you will read that God is commanding the people of Israel over and over again to treat well those people, the sojourners, the people who are journeying. You need to feed them. You're supposed to feed them and provide them housings. That was kind of ancient rule. That's why Elijah coming into the town square and whoever he sees, I need food and water. In a way, that was the custom. Second was orphans. And third was widow. And Swedenborg kind of explains them in a slightly interesting and different way, saying sojourners are the ones who are seeking the truth, the ones who are journeying to find the truth. Well, we have the famous term, right? The seekers of truth. I'm sure that a lot of you are seeking the truth too. And we have this vague hope, not 100% clear, but kind of clear that the moment we see the truth, everything will be just fine. Well, the Bible really says, not really. You may have bigger trouble. The orphans are the ones who have innocence, who have good, but lack the truth. Now the widow are the ones who have the truth, who has learned the truth, who has understanding of the truth, which is symbolized by her son. But there is no good. And husband symbolizes good. Well, it's not just because we like male and female kind of way, but this symbolism is based on ancient way of living. In these days, having husband means what? You have way to sustain yourself. You have way to live. Having a husband, good husband maybe, or capable husband means you will live. We're talking about the time and the age and the place where the people are mostly concerned about what? 99% of people are concerned about what?
Survival.
Yes, survival. We're talking about age when the rich people eat two meals and poor people eat one meal a day. When times are good. When times are bad, rich people get to eat two meals a day, but poor people get to eat no meals a day. They may have to eat every other day. How about widows and orphans? And we're talking about this place where inheritance of the land is only passing down to male, from male to male. I know it's not fair, I know it's not good, but that's 2,900 years ago, and it already happened. But that's the time. But for a woman, for a wife, for to having a husband, means husband might have the land, will cultivate, bring the food home, so there is life. Having a son means not enough, but still, if your husband has land, that may pass down to your son. There's a hope for that. So, husband means good. Good is life, and God is good. Somehow this all connects in that way. So, today's story in a spiritual cultivation means we seek the truth. We want to know. I'm sure, have you ever heard that probably by age 9 or 10 of nowadays education, their knowledge advances probably doctors of 100 years ago or more, if not more. We are living in an age of advanced knowledge, truth, information. Even nowadays, kids are born with better capacity in brain functioning. That some researchers are saying that actually, generation to generation, there's an increase of IQ about 10%. Because otherwise, they will not survive. So if parents are believing that my child is genius, it's actually every children are genius. It has to be, because think about it. The information, the capacity of this whole thing they have to digest, understand, process at their age. You know, you see 2-3 years old playing with iPad, iPhones, just like their toys, no problem at all. And you give it to your grandmas and grandpas, like you take them like days and months. What this function actually does? That's how it is, right? We seek, we want to know. Yet, the question, the big question that is kind of brought upon all of us in this age, the age that we somehow know all, is, are we capable of doing better actions than our ancestors? Are we necessarily more moral people than people lived 100 years ago? Are we more ethical? Are we more loving? We know more, we should know better ways, more ways to help each other, creating better community. Now, probably answers to those questions most likely are not really. So, to me, this widow, I was reading it in this symbolic way, is so much like us that we know a lot. I mean, from how to make your body healthy. Let me ask you a question. How many have read an article, a book about how to be healthy? Probably most of you, right? If you go to bookstores, the whole section is filled with this, either how to make your body healthy, your mind healthy, or both of it. Meaning, we all know. We know everything about how to make ourselves healthy. Now, the question is, how many of you are actually doing it? Every day. Right? Yes, I know. Some of us are kind of doing it. Some of us are not. It goes to then how to treat each other, how to love each other. We have, you know, families, friends, and important people in our lives. We all know also that there are better ways to treat them. But are we really doing it? Even if we have a desire, like, we really, really want to do something for our parents. And how many times do we say, I'm too busy, Dad, I can't do it right now, so I may do it next year. And there was a saying from one of those Confucianists that time passes like, you know, flowing water, but your parent will never wait for you. Even if we know we desire to do it, we still have this somehow barrier that something's kind of blocking us to just go over, cross over this bridge, and to be really enjoying this land of, let's say, goodness and living what we know to be right. And that's the widow. And that's the widow losing son. Son here represents or symbolizes the understanding, the part of the understanding that we have in this truth, which is not exactly helping us to see what is really real. Meaning that sometimes we read the book, let's say about making my body healthy, but this book takes too much. It has too much to do. So my mind automatically reinterprets that in a way that fits the way I like to do. Which will never yield the result the book promises. So you blame the book. The book's wrong. I'm going to buy another book. Then you read. You do exactly the same thing. In a way, that's the story of our lives, story of human beings. That's the son who has to die, but has to be resurrected by the power from above. So this resurrected son is your newer understanding that is blessed, empowered by higher power, that will guide and lead you to see what it is. And I know it's painful, but to tell you what it is that you're not doing to get what you really want to have. I was watching with men's gathering, two men, this Deepak Chopra, How to Know God. And I still remember this one sentence that he says. I really like it. I even shared it with my wife. The way, what you are is God's gift for you. But the way, how, what you do is your gift to God. If this cycle is not completed at your end, and there's something that is broken, this infinite energy has to flow and go back and come back to you again. But if the chain is broken at your end, well, in that case, don't blame, but fix it. Not even yourself. The message of God today is to me amazingly healing. Neither Jesus or Elijah did not enter any game of blaming or clarifying. Elijah just took the son upstairs and prayed to God. God, you can't do this. Jesus saw it, stopped it, and simply resurrected. What will it take to do that? What will it take? In these stories, again, I was telling you once more in summary, widows are the ones who has the knowledge, who has seen the truth, who even has an understanding of what truth is. But this understanding is my own interpretation, which is only serving what I like to do. Still egocentric. What God is saying is that we have to let go of it. And promise is that there will be new understanding rising in us. And showing us the path. And above all, giving us the life that we all desire to have. Living in the land of goodness. I bet that might feel just amazing. Like looking at the children in a way. Where did those joy kind of go away? Have you ever wondered? I was in the camp retreat. And I just look at them. You know how they play with? Nothing. They didn't really need anything. They were just running around, chasing each other, playing some kind of interesting games, disguise. Didn't matter. But like, there's a pure joy in that. Where did your joy go? Would you like to have it back? Would you like to have this life vibrating, enthusiasm? Delight back to your life. What God is saying is that you can have it all back. But this time you have to have it back not as children because you're not anymore children. But you have to have adult version of that. And that requires a little bit of your work. That's why I really like today's anthem. The best tool you have is, again, very classical. Pray. From your heart. From your deep, deep in your heart. And don't try to make any beauty word before God, because that really, God doesn't like that. I mean, God already sees what you want to say. So skip all those steps. Go to the point. That's okay. And even repeat that point 100 times. That's even better. Pray. And if you have time, I always recommend read this book. It always helps. But when you're opening this book, if you believe in God, your mind is saying that, okay, now I am going to meet God. God talked to me. Then you read. If you don't have that, it's just the paper and letters. Will not inspire you at all. Because do you think God can be really in this small little book? I can carry it. Probably a child can carry it. This is just the key. This is a door. So it's your mind where God is coming. It's your mind there where God is coming in and giving you all that you need. So, pray, read this book. Two tools. You can do it every day. I'm sure this is another thing. How to be good in spiritual way, that's it. You pray, read a book every day. 10 minutes. And if you don't get results, a year later, come back to you. Seriously. I can guarantee that. So may God bless you all in your seeking and finding and living with God. Amen.